I'm with Edilberto Senna, who is a turbulent priest from the middle of the Amazon region in Brazil, and who's made a name by not just his radio work, but taking on the multinationals and taking on the government over some of their environmental damage, which they're doing. Edilberto, what would you say is the greatest threat to the Amazon at the moment?
As a native from Amazonia, I can feel in my head and in my heart what is happening there. So I understand that five big threats are menacing Amazonia. First one is the agribusiness. The second one is the mineral companies. Third one is the timber companies. The fourth one are the ranches, the cattle ranches. And the fifth one, strangely, is the federal government, that they are enemies of Amazonia.
Start with the agribusinesses. What is going on here? This is soya, this is...
Exactly. In our region, mainly soya is the commodity. With the problem of the cattle in Europe and with the booming, economic booming of China, suddenly in the beginning of this century, the soya became an important commodity for the Brazilian economy. Because of that, so the new frontier that was opened was our region, Amazonia. The road Santarém-Cuiabá linked the west of the Brazil with the north. And then Santarém became important because there is a good river, deep size, that big ships can go there and fill in with soy and come to Liverpool, to Amsterdam, to France, to China.
And this is the soya which was going into McDonald's and other fast food outlets, I gather, in
Unilever,
Britain.
McDonald's, and other people in Europe that are buying this soy smashed by Cargill here, especially in Amsterdam, and so distribute through the Europe to feed cattle, pigs, chicken, and people.
What is the effect of people of this on the ground? I mean, there's the vast damage to the forest, but are there any other social effects?
Yeah, the social effects are very bad. First, the profits of the soy commodity in our region, Santarém, doesn't stay there. The profits go to Minnesota or go to the south. Second, the soya planters, they came to Santarém with a good financing from the official banks, Banco do Brasil and Banco da Amazônia, and also Cargill financing them. So they started buying the small piece of lands from the familiar agriculture. So the first impact was the expulsion of the small familiar agriculture. They sold their land, so they sold the instrument of living. So with that money, it was like water in their hands. So they bought a little house maybe in the outskirts of Santarém, or they went deep in the forest to cut more forest in there. So, and the soya planter said, we didn't destroy the forest because we already bought destroyed land. That's true, partly. They didn't destroy this part of the forest, but they destroy the familiar agriculture. But when they stop buying the familiar agriculture land, they went to the forest. That's why 3 years ago, Cargill, pressured by European pressure, started a called moratoria of 2 years, promising not to buy soy from planters that destroy forests.
Has that moratorium worked?
For me, it didn't work. When we went to discuss with them, they invited us to go there. Our movement called Defense Amazonian Front, we proposed, if you want to be serious, honest in your proposal, let's make a moratorium of 10 years. They said, no, that's too much. Mm-hmm. Let's, instead of starting the moratorium in 2006, let's start it in 2003. Exactly when it started the deforestation. They said, no, let's start in 2006. So that's in the end, we quit the meetings and we said, that's a farce.
So it's European pressure which is destroying the forests at the moment.
Yeah, I believe that the European people, when they are eating the McDonald's sandwich, when they are eating chicken here, they are eating Amazonian forest because, you know, this pig, chicken and cattle here in Europe, they are fed by the soya that comes from Amazonia.
But you cannot blame the Europeans for the other damage which you have suggested is going to happen, the vast building of hydro dams all the way down the great rivers. This is the Brazilian government which is planning that.
That's a joke, because why Brazilian government is building huge hydroelectrics? It's not for the people. For instance, in the state of Pará, we already have the second biggest hydroelectric in Brazil, that is in Tucuruí. So we have plenty of energy, electricity to serve the state and also help serving the country. But you know that many cities and municipalities in Pará don't have electricity. Why? Because the government is not interested in the people. They are interested in the big companies. Who are going to use those electricity? The big mineral companies. In order to work with bauxite, you need intensive electricity. So the Brazilian government is submitted to the big companies, Alcoa, Rio Tinto, Vale do Rio Doce, and others that are exploiting bauxite, iron, copper, and a lot of minerals that Amazon is very rich. You know, when I see how people in the government and how people in Europe look at Amazonia, it's, for me, exactly like in the 16th century, a big colony, rich El Dorado. They don't know that we are there, 25 million people living in Amazonia. They ignore that. They only see the minerals that are there and the timber and the agribusiness.
If these great dams are built as planned, what effect will that have, both on the forest and on the people who have depended on it for so long?
Look, let's give you the first example of Tapajós River where we live. They want to build a 36 high meter wall to make the dam. And they calculated that it will take 700 square kilometers of flood. So it will flood the forest. It will expose the riverside people that live over there. And they ignore that our culture in Amazonia, the culture of the Eskimo is ice, is snow. The culture of the Amazonia is water and forest. So the government, they only rationalize of the economic profit of the hydroelectric. They forget about things. You know that our president has the courage to say that the five obstacles to development of Brazil are the Indians, the Afro-descendants, the riverside people, the NGOs, and the federal prosecutor, the five obstacles to the development of Brazil. Isn't that a joke?
Edilberto, you're a priest. You're not a bishop, but you're a powerful priest. Do you have a radio station? Do you tell the people these things? Do they believe you? Are they rising up against these companies and the government?
Yes. Our radio station had an option to be committed with the ethics, with the citizen education, with evangelization, because it's a Christian station, and the priority is to the audience. Because of that, we are very strict. It is a commercial station, but we don't accept publicity from Cargill. We don't accept publicity from Alcoa, because these companies, they are destroying our region. And we are committed with ethics, with environment. So I speak that to my people. I have enemies and I have fans in the radio because of our line of speaking.
And you've been threatened with death yourself?
Once I was threatened to death, but I believe that was just a joke of two young people, although I understand that they joked by what they heard from the soya planters and from the right-wing broadcasters. So I was scared at that moment, but the solidarity was so big. Internet helped a lot. And then the government had to come to ask me if I need protection. I said, no, I don't want bodyguard, because Chico Mendes had two bodyguards and they killed him anyway. So they said, okay. So, but up to now, after that, it was 2.5 years ago, I feel tranquilo. Maybe I'm ingenuous, but I feel tranquilo.
Edilberto, thank you very much and good luck and take care.
Thank you very much.